Hey everyone, I know you're ready to listen to the next episode and I'm super excited for you guys to hear this one, but I really just wanted to start off and say thank you so much for the attention you've given me into this podcast over the last 20 plus episodes. It really means a lot to me. I appreciate every single one of you and I love the feedback, so keep it coming. You know, when I started the Perfectly Mentored podcast, I did it because of Gary Vaynerchuk. He's the one that told me to. And because he promised that if I did a bunch of episodes, he'd come on, although no date was ever given or confirmed at the time. And while I love picking the brains of some of the smartest people in business and life, and you know, we've had some incredible guests on here that let me into their mindset, it was a potential opportunity to sit down with the legend, with Gary himself, that made me want to do this and keep me going. Many people, if you know Gary, there are many people that beg or offer to pay a lot of money for the opportunity to sit down with Gary and never get that chance. So I'm grateful that he said yes. I'm grateful for him for pushing me to do this, for challenging me to do this, and obviously for making this happen and letting me pick his brain. This is the podcast you've been waiting for. This is Gary Vaynerchuk on the record.
This is the Perfectly Mentored Podcast with your host, Jason Portnoy.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Perfectly Mentored. I'm your host, Jason Portnoy. My guest today is, actually, if you don't know who this man is, an introduction's not going to do anything. You've been living under a rock. You don't know who this guy is. Something's wrong because he's everywhere. The man, the myth, the legend, Gary Vaynerchuk. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, brother.
He's also the reason, by the way, that we're here right now and doing this today. He was a man that told me start a podcast, and if I do a certain amount of episodes, he'd be on. So true to his word, so happy to have you on. Thanks, Jason, so much.
I'm proud of you, bro.
I want to start off just...
I want to say what's up to your dude.
What's up, man? Sandy, nice to meet you.
Sandy. All right, sorry, guys. Just had to say what's up to Sandy, the film dude. What a swaggy hoodie. I love everything about it. All right, go ahead.
I want to start off by talking about something... you talk a lot about it. I watch a lot of your content, and if I look,
Dustin, you want me mic'd or are you good? You're good. Okay, go ahead, brother.
No worries. The question that you get,
yes,
you always get the same questions. Your answers are usually the same, which is a good thing. It means you're staying consistent.
Yep.
But I'm wondering how many of these questions are just self-validation questions,
a lot.
Where they already know the answer to it.
A lot.
Does that trouble you at all?
No, I don't think when you're trying to provide value that you get to decide what the value is. That's actually giving. See, people don't get it. Like, Gary Vee, you're full of yourself. Look a little bit deeper. Like I have no ambition to dictate the value that I provide. I have ambition of providing the value the person wants. So if somebody wants to roll up and they need 4 minutes of my time while I'm running to my next meeting and I'm busy, but because nothing gets me more hyped than like bringing humans value, that they need validation, even though I know 92% of the time that's literally what's gonna happen in this micro moment, I'm thrilled to do it, because then if they go fucking do it, they start a podcast and get an interview with me.
Awesome. But then it goes to the next level too, right?
Yep.
You go to all these conferences. I was just at a conference where people are talking about game-changing, life-changing conference, and then people come home and I question how many people 3 months later have their lives changed. It goes back to the feeling of people like listening to your content and consume it. They like the feeling of being motivated, but then there's work that has to be done after it, and I don't think people like that feeling.
Yeah, and I think that's why I talk about trying to find things you like, not making money the variable of happiness. Like, you know, I genuinely believe, I really do, that long term I will be far more validated, because I just really, really know that what I'm speaking about is just tried and true human behavior with an understanding of modern day contextual technology advancements, right? So things are exacerbated, right? Like, and things of that nature. And so you know this, like, I make content that literally says stop watching me, go do it, and then they go and watch somebody else that charges them for the information. So people like consuming motivational content because they think they're actually doing something. I think it's like watching somebody else work out.
That's a good point.
And so I'm hoping that, but this is why I like to talk my truth. It's the 97th time somebody saw, like, the amount of people that have hit, this is why reading every comment matters. Do you know how motivating it is when you read a comment that says, Gary Vee, I watched you for 4 months, I loved you. Then I thought you were a dick face. I didn't watch you. But now I'm back, and now I've been watching for a year and a half, and just yesterday, that post with you in the barn is the reason now I did it, and I'm like, fuck, the thing I did in the barn, I've done 874 times, just not in the barn, and not with that word, and not with that meme title, and it was this time, after 17 months, 4 months of which they thought I was a douchebag, that it was the piece of content that actually got them to actually go to the gym and work out, I'm into it.
So is it flattering if someone's like, oh, I can't listen to Gary anymore. He just says the same thing over and over. He's repetitive. Flattering, straight.
Yeah, why in the world would I make up shit to like entertain you on fucking Instagram? I will never be historically incorrect at the moment I said it. I will never say anything I don't believe in. I will never say it. I don't need the likes. I don't want the money. I don't need the admiration, which is what I really like. I don't need any of that to say something I don't believe in.
Got it. So, and another thing that you're very clear on is hustling, working hard, hard work ethic.
I think hard work matters.
I agree with you, but there's this whole wave, I don't know if you've seen, of people coming in now.
Are you kidding?
Of saying,
I'm the one who's fucking...
work-life balance.
Of course.
That you shouldn't work hard.
I'm the one
hard.
That gets picked on for that because the manifestation of me believing in hard work has been, you know, I say that I sleep 6, 7, and 8 hours and that nobody should do anything that doesn't make them happy and that making $47,000 a year and being happy is amazing and yet people want to make me the poster child of overworking and burning yourself out. I get it. I understand what happens once you hit a certain tier. I also understand that maybe I could have done a better job earlier in the process of my career in creating clarification. Thus, I'm okay with getting link baited into some of these conversations. But listen, I believe in work-life balance. I just think my work-life balance is different than yours. I also think that happiness needs to be thought about. And like when you love what you do, like this is my hobby.
You also have to know what you want, right?
Correct.
If you want to be a billionaire, you're not going to do it
let me say it one more time because I've got to clarify it all the fucking time. I'll say it for the 9,000th fucking time. The pursuit of trying to buy the New York Jets is my passion. Because it allows me to play the game that I love. I love being a businessman the way a lot of you love playing football, the way a lot of you love to ski, the way a lot of you love to read, the way a lot of you love to cook, watch Netflix, hang out with your friends. If given the option, besides garage sailing and watching the Jets professionally, forget about family, that's on a pedestal that nothing can touch. Outside of spending time with my inner family and closest friends, and outside of garage selling and watching the Jets, there's nothing I'd rather do than work a 15-hour day.
You're self-aware, you know you.
And I always have. This is why I shoveled snow and did lemonade, and I washed fucking cars as a 7-year-old all day long on August 9th, because it's what I like. And I'm not gonna judge somebody who wants to work 9 to 5, be on 13 fucking softball teams and play fucking video games all day and make 42K a year. If she and he are pumped as fuck, they're equal to me because I know a bunch of miserable fucking billionaires and I know a lot of fucking happy 55K a years and everything in between. So fuck, you know, like here's my thing. If you listen carefully, I'm only spitting two core things. You be self-aware. And you make yourself happy and don't let anything other variables, you adjust to macro variables. And two, this is what makes me happy. A lot of people are spitting their ideology on other people, especially after they've already accomplished something.
So you talk patience too, right? That people should be patient in the pursuit of their goals. At what point does patience just become delusion?
A lot of times.
What are the hacks or the tips that you for them to be self-aware to know when to just when is patience just run it?
If you've been doing the same thing for 7 years and nothing good has happened, you're delusional. Let's start there. That's a test. I believe in that. If there's been no progress in your rap career, or in your art, or your video blog, and you've been doing it every day for 7 years as hard as you can, and nothing has happened, the market has spoken. That's one way. Now. Is that 4 years? Is that 2 years? Do people jump off? Like, you need to see some level of progress to keep you having blood in the water to get you going. But sometimes there is a breakthrough because if the machine is in between you and the market, well, then you gotta be discovered. But the reason now I think it's more pure is because SoundCloud and Spotify and YouTube and Shopify and Amazon. Now you get the feedback loop so fast, and it isn't the arbitrary subjective call. The reason it took some of the greatest stars of all time 11 years to break through is because other people had say. People didn't see Gaga's talent. They thought she was weird. Somebody thought she wasn't weird. She breaks out. But Lady Gaga today, she goes on fucking YouTube and fucking Spotify direct, and the market speaks quicker. People are more famous quicker now if they have the talent, because nobody's in the middle. This is why I talk in general terms on content, of course, because I don't have the context, but if somebody sat here and I listened for 40 minutes, I would tell them if they're delusional or just impatient. And most people are impatient and delusional.
Fair.
I mean, that's just the reality of it.
You speak to a lot of young startup entrepreneurs that you get approached all the time for advice, but here at Vayner, you work with a lot of big companies. What can some of the young entrepreneurs learn from the big companies, and what could big companies learn from the young entrepreneurs?
That's a great question. And honestly, I would argue that that is a core strength of mine, that I play in both worlds, and so I'm able to like see the common themes. I think big companies can learn that process for the sake of process is the worst thing of all time, and that's all they've become. And that long-term marathon running and building a business is better than every 90 days, but they're stuck because they pander to Wall Street. I think startups are impatient, underestimate scale, pander to VC, you know, big companies pander to Wall Street, startups pander to VCs, neither panders to the end consumer. I genuinely believe that because I pander to the end consumer, the audience, that I am who I am. Wine Library was what Wine Library was, VaynerMedia is. Everybody panders to things in the middle that mean nothing.
How important is attention when you're doing all this? Getting
the most.
Attention. So
if this interview is not heard by anybody, it's not a great use of time other than sharpening your craft, right?
Yeah.
Which is not horrible, but like it's better if it gets heard. And the reason I film everything is Dustin's gonna watch this and he's gonna take a clip, and if one of them achieves 1.5 million in views on Instagram at the moment of scale, that's a good day because we've created more
awareness.
And then
awareness. I get podcast number two.
That's right.
If attention matters...
Are you a bigger Patriots or Red Sox fan?
I am a Dallas Cowboys fan.
Interesting. And a Red Sox fan?
So when Pedro Martinez left the Expos,
yes.
I followed him. So I'm a Montreal Expos fan. When Pedro Martinez left, I followed him to the Red Sox.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you didn't consider like Buffalo, like the Bills, no? How old are you?
37. I have to think for a second. That's
you look
weird.
Good, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I thought you thought he was younger too?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
No, 37.
Right, go ahead.
Yeah, so if attention matters, what's going on in the marketing industry right now? There's a lot of pollution, a lot of bottom feeders coming out. You know, I do paid media for a lot of clients, and they're preaching that whole spend a dollar, make $10, and clients are starting to think that they need to see a 10x
return. You're talking about
ROAS? Yeah. All clients are now sitting there saying, a dollar should make $10. But
it's crazy.
But it's crazy. For me, when I run ads, like for myself, 1x is great because if I'm getting my money back and my marketing content is still out there and I'm still building a brand, that's amazing. How do we clean up the marketing industry and reset the expectations that clients have?
Letting the market do what it always does.
It's
do you know that everybody who picks on me for telling people that you don't need to make a lot, there are literally people now pushing back on my thesis that you can be happy without making a lot of money. This is literally now happening. I'm like watching it. I'm like, this is remarkable. Like, let me explain how I plan on addressing that by not addressing it until the economy collapses and then making some comments on how historically correct I was.
So the market will course correct and take away all the bottom feeders.
And your control in this scenario is when a client says to you, no bro, I need $10 ROAS, you're like, thank you very much, I'm not the guy for you.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Great, me too.
And when the guys post that they could get 10X, I offer to hire them, and then they disappear.
Funny how that works.
Yeah. If you could speak to every entrepreneur in the world, you're on.
I'm planning on it.
Well, with this podcast.
Yes, of course.
If you're standing on top of a mountain, yes. You could have the attention of every single entrepreneur in the world, what would you tell them?
Real entrepreneurs or people that are claiming to be entrepreneurs during this era?
Real hardworking entrepreneurs.
How lucky did we get that we didn't end up being athletes?
Why is that?
Because they have to retire at 36.
I mean, you just brought up something really, really good. You work with a lot of athletes. I'm just curious from your mindset. I asked Brandon Steiner the same question. What are some of the common characteristics between the most successful athletes and the most successful business people you've met?
Preparation, competitiveness, deep passion for the fucking game. You know? I mean, that's a real entrepreneur. She or he loves it so much, they couldn't be, I mean, my actions have spoken long before entrepreneurship was cool. I was not capable of being a student because of my deep passion for entrepreneurship. It was baseball cards. It was baseball cards that didn't allow me to be a good student. I was incapable of sitting in class and not dreaming about selling Bo Jackson cards. It took me over. But for some reason, when you're an athlete and you're missing a bunch of school because you're a great athlete, or when you're Beyonce being homeschooled, right? That makes sense, but not for entrepreneurs, right? Doesn't seem like you're allowed to miss a ton of school. If you're an unbelievable actor, actress, singer, athlete, missing normal school is something that all of us in this room and listening right now understand. You're like, oh yeah, that's what happens. Like, you're the best quarterback in the world. Like, yeah, you gotta throw with the quarterback. You miss first class, you know? But not for entrepreneurs. But that's who I was. I should have missed a whole bunch and went to the fucking mall on Thursday and Friday. I used to do baseball card shows. Baseball card shows in Jersey in the 90s were Thursday to Sunday. So you'd pay for a table for Thursday to Sunday. But I had to start Friday afternoon after school. I had to overpay for my tables and try to make back my nut on Friday afternoon, Saturday, and Sunday.
I'm curious to hear.
I should have fucking missed school on Thursday.
I'm curious to hear what your answer would have been. Let's say you were standing on top of the mountain to talking to fake wannabe entrepreneurs.
I would say, hey, gals and guys, you're about to deal with a very difficult scarlet letter. You live as an entrepreneur wannabe in 2019, which means your propaganda on your Instagram account is painting a life. Sooner than later, the economy will collapse. You will then have to go work at Chase Bank or at, you know, somewhere else. And you're going to have to stop showing the facade of being a successful entrepreneur. And so the sooner you could start telling the truth of actually being an entrepreneur in the process of trying to win versus what entrepreneurship got cool. Super fun for me. Rappers, sneakers. It's been amazing. I'm super happy. I'm also unbelievably prepared for it to be demonized the way big banks were in 2008 when the shit hits the fan, and prepared for all the comments that you, Gary, you fucked me up. You told me entrepreneurship. Now I'm this. Really? Because you didn't listen.
But you make it look easy, right? I don't watch LeBron play and sit there and say, oh, I could be the basketball player, right? I watch business people and you're like...
But you're not watching. LeBron, you actually see it, and you don't actually see it because you just see the byproduct at night. LeBron's fucking in the weight room right now. LeBron's eating healthy as fuck. LeBron's watching film on Ben Simmons right now. You don't see that. I'm in fucking meetings 17 hours a day. And my attempt to vlog everything really doesn't work because there's so much sensitive information. But lately, I've had a couple of these mega blogs, right? Vlogs where people are seeing my whole day. And these are fucking 4 to 7 hour videos on YouTube. And people are fucking going crazy. Why, I'm realizing? Like, who the fuck wants to watch 7 hours? I mean, I'm humbled. But what I realize is, now they're actually starting to see certain things. They're like, oh, that's how he treats people? Fuck. If he's doing that and he's nice to everybody, and I think I'm somebody because I have 4,000 followers on Instagram, maybe I'm doing this wrong. And so, yeah, man, when it really gets to the Truman Show and people are really wise, when somebody a little bit braver than me shows every single thing, like if I didn't have a company with clients and employees, I'd show everything. I'm just not. But I kind of sometimes dream of it because that's what's been great about these mega vlogs. So you would really see it, and then it wouldn't seem so easy. You go read the client comments on the 4 episodes I put up that are long, they're like, fuck, that looks exhausting. How the fuck does he have energy to say what's up and answer the same fucking thing? Have you watched one of them?
No.
Have you? So what's your hot take on it?
I mean, I just can't believe you saying yes to the selfies over and over and over.
And the patience and the attention and the sheer energy it takes when you have attention.
Yeah, but I mean, So you probably get this pushback a lot. Easy for Gary to say, right? He's made it. He's there.
I hear it every day.
Easy for Gary to say. I'll do that too if I'm paid. I'm paid millions of dollars.
I hear way worse. I hear fake manipulations of my story. Just one more time, because we're having an on the record day. I walked into my dad's business doing $3.8 million in sales, grew it to a $60 million business.
So you weren't handed it like some other people say.
Of course not. I left at 34 years. Guys, if I was handed a $60 million business, why would I start VaynerMedia in the conference room of Buddy Media because I didn't have enough money for rent? No, what I did, unlike all you fuckers, was I gave the 12 best years of my life to my parents, who I love the most, built them a $60 million business, and walked at 34 with no fucking money. Now what? Now what, dick? Now what? So, yes, people say easy for you to say that. And by the way, it's what everybody does. And by the way, cool, fine. Easy because I have talent. That I'll respect. But I put in the work. Like, you know what else is easy? Being attractive. Do you know how amazing it is if you're born beautiful, boy or girl? It's, let me save people time. We're on white privilege right now. We're on rich. It's gonna come to beautiful. Because people are starting to get deep on like their thinking. One of the great things to happen in your life is to be a fucking smoke show. A fucking male fucking model. Gorgeous as fuck.
Oh, I always said.
Because let me tell you, you know.
I always said. You've lived this. I always said, if I could come back in life as a hot woman.
Yes.
On Instagram, knowing the marketing skills I have.
By the way, just so everybody understands, so they're not confused. If you were highly, I'm talking like a 10.
Yeah.
Male or female, your life is much better. Doors open that never could have opened.
It's like something.
Dustin, you getting invited to go to Ibiza for a week, all expense paid, everything taken care of, shopping sprees?
You're invited to the Fyre Festival.
Yeah, exactly. So like, there's a ton of, here's my thing. I'm just not judging anybody. You know what I think is a better advantage than fucking being born into something? Being born into nothing. I'm on the record. Remember I said it, can't wait to watch it in 20 years. The internet the way it is today, I'd rather have zero than 100 million. People that have zero are like, this fucking guy's an idiot. That's because you don't talk to trust fund babies. I do. I talk to trust fund babies. They DM me. I meet them in real life because of my business career. They're fucking sad. Do you know what it's like to talk to a human being that looks at you at 22 years old and says, no matter what I do for the next 80 years, it will never be my own accomplishment. Everybody will always say I was handed it and I'm done. Do you know what kind of level of depression, cocaine, and partying until you die that leads to? A lot.
Both sides are always going to come the other side.
100%. And by the way, nor do I expect anybody that grew up the way I did in a studio apartment in Queens to have sadness for Richard Thompson III. They will say what I always hear, which is, cool, I'll cry in my Ferrari. That's because you don't know what crying is, dick. Because smiling in your fucking Toyota is way better than crying in your Ferrari. But you can stay confused. And when you get there, why don't you call good old Gary and tell me how it actually feels? Crying is never acceptable, is never a good idea. Not interesting, AKA being sad and depressed and not happy. People are fucking confused. If you think of fucking Ferrari or some fucking hot Supremes or a fucking pretty girl or boy or a yacht is gonna make you happy, you're just not smart about life. You go do you. Everybody should do whatever the fuck they want. I'm one person. I do not, on the record, I'm on the record kind of mode today. I genuinely do not believe that my points of view are more valuable than anybody else's I've ever met. I genuinely feel that way. I genuinely do. Do I subconsciously understand that my thoughts on business, probably since I've been doing it every day of my life for the last fucking 37 years, carry some weight more than somebody who's drawn every day for 37? Probably, but maybe they're just a natural talent. They see it differently. Like, I don't get high on my supply. I enjoy sharing. I enjoy admiration. I enjoy content. I enjoy humans tremendously. But I'm gonna die and nobody's gonna, like, I'm gonna have a day. I feel like at this point, like, I'm feeling confident and I'm gonna have a good, like, I definitely feel like people are gonna, like, share their favorite memories. What I mean, like, I feel like I'll have a little bit of, I'll have a day, half a day. Like, I'll trend for a few minutes.
It's gonna be a tough speaking gig at your funeral, eh?
Yeah, I don't know who wants that. You know, but like, I genuinely think, like, and then what, right? Prince died, fucking, you know, like, Michael Jackson died. These people make global fucking impact, you know what I mean? So like, But I'm what I don't care what anybody thinks, and nor do I think my value on anybody, my opinion on anybody matters. I do have a yearning to communicate, and so I'll do that. More than welcome to listen or not.
I want to let you end with just a pitch. Talk about Empathy Wines and why you got started, and go into that.
I mean, I appreciate that. It's very kind. I grew up in the wine business. I'm very fascinated by direct-to-consumer wine brands. I knew I had a ton of leverage with farmers. I just knew that I could make a $40 to $60 wine for $20. And I was curious of what kind of side hustle that would look like. And most importantly, John Trauman and Nate Schroeder have been with me for a decade. Admins, interns, came all the way up the system. And I felt like it was time to take a swing with them as my partners. So I get to put kids on that the Dustins and the Seths who are sitting here right now could be like, I mean, I assume, I don't want to speak for them, but like, it's probably cool to be like, knowing you're coming in on the ground floor, you're hustling, grinding, working, we work hard. But then when you get to look at those guys and be like, they own a winery? You're like, well, maybe I can. Like it's always good to see, it's why it's so powerful to see something, right? It's powerful to see, for me, I'm sure as a kid, I don't remember, seeing immigrants from the old country make it. It's powerful to see somebody from the hood make it. It's powerful to see a woman, like, this is why I love amplifying stories of like all different shapes and sizes, because all you need to do is see one, right? So it's great, it makes me happy. It feels like all that, you know, I ask of my people that are in my most inner circle to work hard, to not, you know, you can work at VaynerMedia and get paid more. You're more than welcome, but there's something really rad if you're willing to. I'm asking them to do what I did. I was 34 years old. There's not a lot of people on earth that have ever built something as quickly as I did. On earth, there's plenty that have built way bigger. But if you take them 7.7 billion fucking people, the amount that have taken something and grown it in 7 years the way I did, for somebody else, gets real small real fast.
Look, one out of all the things you've accomplished, and there's a lot that people admire you for, I think, being this is my second time at VaynerMedia, the one thing that I could tell you as a business owner that's the most impressive out of it all is the culture you built here of the people that will go all in for you, and that's just incredible.
And that only comes in one way. There is no fucking drinking Kool-Aid. You don't trick humans. You could trick them for a few minutes, but not sustained at scale. Like, I keep people like Kool-Aid, snake oil salesman. I read these comments, I'm like, how do you not understand what 20 fucking years of sustained growth means?
Like at 21, there's very few people I would stay till 8 p.m., 9 p.m. to go work for, right? The fact that you have an entire office of people that's just willing to just give you their nights, give you their weekends, it's impressive.
And the fucking hundreds and hundreds of thousands behind it that are trying to get in.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people are like, oh, they work so hard. I'm like, this isn't fucking Soviet Russia. And they, you know what the best part is? And Seth probably knows better than this, but this has been a quick learn. Like, I also put them on when they don't want to be here anymore. Like, to me, it's not like, you know, it'd be one thing if, like, Seth's like, you know what, I'm going to work at Audible. And I'm like, go fuck yourself. I would literally email the fucking CEO of Audible. First, I'd be like, dick, why didn't you talk to me? I would have got you more money at Audible. That would have been the first reaction. Second, I would have fucking, like, the next thing I do, like, there's a way to live life. I understand what it looks like, and it's very basic. People have made shit real complicated. When you're fulfilled, you can start giving. So I'm fulfilled emotionally, right? The end. So I'm capable to give, and there are people out there that are that way, and I'm thankful that I'm one of them.
Well, it's gonna be a sad day for all of us when you actually do buy the Jets.
I agree.
And then this whole thing ends. Gary, thank you so much. Thank you, really, buddy. Appreciate it.
You did a good job.
Thank you.